we should now have some idea what is meant by vimoksha in the ordinary, inverted commas, sense. Achintya, of course, means inconceivable, unthinkable. And there's also the suggestion of the inexpressible and even of the ungraspable. The achintya vimoksha, or inconceivable emancipation, is an emancipation which is peculiar to the Buddhas and irreversible bodhisattvas. We can't really say more than that. At the beginning of this talk, I raised the question, what is meant by inconceivable emancipation? But we can't really say. We can say what we mean by the Mahayana. We can say what a Mahayana Sutra is. But we cannot say what we mean by the inconceivable emancipation. The inconceivable emancipation is inconceivable. And because it is inconceivable, it is inexpressible. We can go further than that. We can say that all emancipations whatsoever, to the extent that they are emancipations, are inconceivable. What do we mean by that? Emancipation is, of course, always emancipation from something. The term emancipation itself has no meaning except in relation to a previous state of bondage. And when we're in that state of bondage, we cannot really imagine what emancipation from that state of bondage is like. We can form only a very general notion. Indeed, when we are in the state of bondage, we cannot imagine how much in bondage we are. We may even think that we're not in bondage at all. We realize how much we were in bondage only when emancipation from that bondage has been attained. I'm speaking here, of course, of what may be termed vertical emancipation. If we cannot even imagine how much in bondage we are to this and to that, how much less likely it is that we shall be able to imagine what the state of emancipation from that bondage will be like. It will be inconceivable to us. And it's important to remember this. We often speak of nirvana, or at least those of us who discuss Buddhism often speak of nirvana or a higher spiritual experience as though we knew all about them. But we don't. We don't really know anything about them at all. We can't even conceive of them. So what does this mean? It means that as we progress in the spiritual life, we do not go forward into what we already know. We go forward into what we don't know. And when we commit ourselves to the spiritual life, we commit ourselves to the unknown. Emancipation, vertical emancipation, is always emancipation from the known, the cognized. And the attainment of emancipation is always attainment of the unknown, the unpredictable, the unforeseen, even the unforeseeable. All emancipations, to the extent that they're emancipations, are therefore inconceivable. But the inconceivable emancipation of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas is inconceivable in a special sense, in a deeper sense. The Bodhisattva represents, of course, as we've already seen, the spiritual ideal of the Mahayana, or Great Way. We could say, putting it in very simple terms, that according to the Mahayana, the Bodhisattva is the ideal Buddhist. It's what every Buddhist would like to be. Now, the Mahayana, like the Hinayana, or Little Way, sees existence not statically, but dynamically. Not in terms of entities, but in terms of processes. Not in terms of fixed, solid, unchanging things, but in terms of what are called dharmas, with a small d, an untranslatable term. According to the Mahayana, these dharmas are in the ultimate sense neither existent nor non-existent. Existent and non-existent are only ideas of our own mind. And because they are neither existent nor non-existent, they naturally neither appear nor disappear. Suffering, for instance, doesn't really appear. It doesn't really disappear. And because these dharmas neither appear nor disappear, they are peaceful from the beginning and by nature completely, to coin a word, nirvanaized. Moreover, because dharmas are neither existent nor non-existent, they've no separate characteristics by which they can be distinguished or recognized. And because they have no separate characteristics, they are inconceivable and inexpressible. All dharmas are therefore the same, or rather not different, and without duality. However, I must warn you that for the Mahayana, there can be no question of any reification of any of these terms. All dharmas, yes, are void of self-nature, as it's expressed. But this voidness is not itself an entity. Voidness is also void. It's not very easy to understand this, of course. But, as I've already said, the inconceivable emancipation is inconceivable. It's not just a question of seeing that emancipation is inconceivable. The Bodhisattva sees that existence itself is inconceivable. It's not that we don't know anything about nirvana or about higher spiritual experiences. It's not just that. We don't really know anything about anything at all. We cannot therefore say anything about anything. And this is quite a thought. This thought that we don't know anything about anything. It's not that we don't know very much. It's not that we don't know it very well. The statement is to be taken quite literally. We don't know anything about anything. Of course, we think that we know. And on the basis of what we think we know, we build up all sorts of thought constructions, all sorts of ideas, attitudes, views, philosophies. But these, according to the Mahayana, are nothing but delusion. We don't really know anything about anything. And it's important to reflect a little on this from time to time, perhaps while washing the dishes. Usually, we're so sure that we know something. We're usually so sure even that we know it quite well, but we don't. The Mahayana says, existence is inconceivable. A flower, if you have one on your, or there aren't any, a flower, if you look at a flower, if you just look at it, is inconceivable. A tree is inconceivable. A stone, if you just take it up in your hand and look at it, you'll see that it's inconceivable. And a human being is inconceivable too. A human being, in fact, is staggering. And of course, a Buddha, an enlightened human being, is inconceivable. A Bodhisattva is inconceivable. Buddhism is inconceivable. But here, of course, a question arises. If the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas see existence as inconceivable, how is it possible for them to say anything about it? How is it possible for them to teach the Dharma?